person.
Yeah.
Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
We talk about blogs today.
Oh, we are gonna. Hello and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. As you can see, boy, we cannot wait to get started. I'm your host, Sheila English. You'll have to forgive me. I'm struggling a little bit with the cold, so, you know, don't judge me. I'm a little nasally, but I'm here, and I'm happy to be here. Last month, we did a Reader's Perspective show, and it was so much fun and so informative and so popular. We have asked our guests to return once more, so please welcome Publishers Weekly super blogger Barbara Vey and Readers Entertainment Tell It Like It Is blogger Sherina Russo. Welcome, ladies.
Hello, Sheila.
Thanks, Sheila.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi, Sherina.
You know, this is, we always get lively when we start talking about things like what can be on the blog, what shouldn't be on the blog, what's, you know, what's okay, what's not okay, and blurring those lines. So I expect this is going to be a really great show. Now, before we get too far, let me just tell our listeners, we do have the live chat session up. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/circle-of-7, and please feel free to put up your opinions and ask questions. And you can also call into the show, 646-200-4071. And after the show, you can download the podcast and use that yourself. And tomorrow, we're going to have a blog follow-up on readersentertainment.com, so you can get the podcast there. If you didn't get to ask questions live but you have some questions, you can go and post them on the blog, and I'll make sure the ladies get your questions. Now, we're going to talk about e-readers. We're going to talk about BEA, which is Book Expo America. We're going to talk about what's popular with readers when you blog. So please do send in questions or comments during or even after the show. We'd love to have your opinion and feedback. And it is going to be a lively show. I know Sherina has got a house full of young men who have been talking politics, and we're going to talk a little bit about politics and where they belong. So you'll hear a little bit of that in the background. And between that and my cold-sounding nasal voice, hopefully you'll forgive us for that and just sit back and enjoy the show. Barbara, I'd like to start off with what you feel readers want or what they don't want from a blog. What gets the most comments?
Well, actually, I find that the most comments come from blogs that are about everyday things that readers can identify with. One time I wrote a blog about, you know, how in books they have the perfect mates, the soulmates, how they meet each other, and readers actually responded with their own happily ever after stories. There were tons of authors and readers who said how they met their spouse and how many years they were married, and it was really inspiring, and it was very heartwarming, and it's just nice to know that it's happening in real life. I also recently, you'll remember this, wrote a side note about a built-in bidet that I found at a hotel I stayed at.
I remember that.
I included a picture of it in the blog, and people, actually everything else in the blog, they just kind of ignored and wrote about the bidet, their experiences with them and how they saw them around the world, and who knew that it would be such a hot topic.
Now, what would you say is your most popular blog to date?
Well, actually, there's two things that really brought out how people feel about things. And one was, and I actually started my blog 4 years ago with this question, what is women's fiction? Because I wasn't sure what it was. So I actually went around and asked people at bookstores, supermarkets, restaurants. And then I also filmed a video with people in all walks of life and women. And everyone had a different response, not everyone said the same thing. In fact, I don't even think two people said the same thing. So I don't think anyone really knows what women's fiction is. And the other blog that was really one that got a lot of comments was about reviews and how they should be about the book and not a personal attack on the author. That was real, hit home for a lot of authors and things. And people were very passionate when they commented about that subject.
I totally agree. A review shouldn't be a person's personal feelings, because their personal feelings sways a reader whether to buy a book or not, to try it. Or, I've seen a lot of people comment, well, this is how the book made you feel. Well, I'm not going to get it if it's a negative review, instead of just giving the book a chance and making your own conclusion, coming to your own conclusion about it. So
That's not what I meant. I know what you're saying, but this I'm talking about personally attacking the author and
right.
saying
oh, no,
things about the author.
I've seen that too. I've seen that on message boards. One message board in particular. I'm not going to say the name, but I've seen quite a few personal attacks on several authors in regards to their story. If they had a scene in a book, and what they did was they just totally hammered the author, and the author, she went on to the message board and she tried to explain a position, why this scene was pivotal, why it happened that way, why it played out that way, and they just went on the attack and personally attacked her. So she doesn't go on that message board anymore because of the fact that they verbally attacked her. They took it so personal. And I remember emailing the author, and I apologized for those people because I thought they should have been ashamed of themselves for how they treated her.
Well, you know, Barbara, I know, you know, you and I have talked before about, you know, what we want to see on our blogs and not see, and we try to keep everything positive. And you always say, just because you don't like a particular book, it's subjective. I mean, all entertainment is, and somebody else might like it, you know, and I always feel like, you know, I know you have your reviews. I think one went up either yesterday or today. I was looking at it. And, you know, you always get a kind of a taste of the book, you know, what the book is about. And you do get a little bit of a personal feel from the reader as to what they liked about it. But I know exactly what you're saying. I've seen people actually, you know, be very personal toward the author. I mean, even, you know, comments like, oh, she's so stupid, or, you know, did you see she had her lips done? I mean, things that don't belong in a book review, and it's crazy.
Right.
Now, so that got a lot of comments on your blog?
That not only got a lot of comments, but it got actually other blogs picked it up and wrote about it too. And it was just such a, you know, it's one of those topics that hit home to a lot of people because I think it's happened. If it hasn't happened to them, it's happened to someone they know.
Yeah.
And it's affected authors' health. And I've known people that have gotten sick. Physically sick from things that are said online. I just don't think there's any place for that. If you talk about the book, that's fine. If it's something you didn't like, that's fine. But, yeah, there's no place to personally attack an author.
Well, I don't know if you guys remember, but a few years ago, there was a glitch in the Amazon system. I think it might have been the Amazon Canada. But what happened was, you know, people could make all these anonymous reviews and say anything they wanted. And when the glitch happened, it actually showed who really wrote them. So you knew authors were, you know, giving 5 stars to themselves or other authors who were saying horrible things
yes.
got outed. So, you know, the lesson of the day is, it can, you know, things can come back and haunt you when you say stuff. And you just never know. And the person that you're ripping up that's an author today may be working at your publisher's house next year. I mean, you know how this industry is. The longer you're in it, the smaller it is. You just never know when you are going to be, you know, it really means spirited in your reviews. You never know how that's going to come back and haunt you.
Yeah,
well,
I remember another incident where a publisher sent out an email to an author's mailing list, and they were asking the question about because the book had poor sales, and they wanted to know where the book was placed in the bookstore because they paid for the prime real estate, you know, so like
right.
when they walked in, you saw the book and everything. But because of the sales, they got a hold of her mailing list and they sent out this mailing list, round robin to all her readers about, well, can you tell us where the book was placed and everything? Well, the author was so upset that what happened was she sent a personal message to a couple of people, and what those people did, they posted her feelings on a message board.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, and they what happened after that was horrific, because what they did was they slammed her for being a crybaby, for, you know, if you can't take the heat, you know, and all that other stuff. And I just thought it was terrible how they treated her. So,
well, tell me something, Barbara, back to you. What do readers not want to see on a blog?
Well, in talking to a lot of readers, one thing they don't want is negativity. They really, really don't. They read for the escapism from their ordinary, stressful lives. They want to know that there's better things out there. And they don't really want to know about the behind-the-scenes bickering. They don't want to know what's happening between publishers and authors, or between authors and authors. And they don't like the not nice stuff said online sometimes. You know, a lot of them are on Twitter, a lot of them are on Facebook, and when authors come on and use foul language or say off-color things or something that may not be in line with their values, they don't like it. It makes them uncomfortable. They don't want to know that side of their author. If they enjoy their books, they want to enjoy the books and the fantasy that it brings. And I know we had talked about this earlier, but this is really true. They don't want to know about an author's politics or religion. They want to connect to an author, but they want to connect on this personal level that has to do with the books. So the subjects of politics or religion can be potentially off-putting if the reader doesn't have the same values. They're gonna, you know, they'll take that with them when they're reading the book. Can't help it; it's human nature. And you can turn off a lot of readers like that. It's just no place. If you want to use your own personal name and get your own personal Facebook page and spout off all you want, but when you become a public figure like an author, you have to take what, you know, suppose if they want to make it their platform, but then they're taking the chance that they're going to, you know, turn away some readers.
Now, tell me, Sharina, let me ask you as a reader, what kind of blogs do you like to read? You know, what do you like?
I like to read the author's blog and find out, you know, what they're up to, what's coming out next. I do like to read reviewers of blogs just to see what they're saying about a book and how the book affected them, if it has that. You know, I do like reading opinions, just to see if I agree with their opinion, you know, if they review a book and everything, and see how, you know, if I agree with them. Majority of the time, I don't agree with them, but I like a lot of information, so I like reading blogs that gives me information so I can process it, and, you know, and then read it for myself and come to my own conclusion and my, you know, and you know, draw, you know, just seeing if I agree with them or not.
You know, if I can say, what I used to always like to look at on authors' websites was when they talk about where they went. I mean, if they went to conferences or different things, even if they traveled, because I used to read, and I still do read a lot of historicals, and so a lot of authors go to Europe, Scotland, you know, they go different places to research their books, and then they post pictures of it and tell stories about it. I loved that part of
it. I do too. You know? I do
too. And see, then when they incorporate it in their books, this is where I got this inspiration from there. And I also like Karen Rainey used to post pictures of the castles that are based in her stories, because she writes Scottish historicals, and she would describe all these grand castles and everything. And I used to love when she posted the pictures of the castles. Well, this is what it's based on. Mona McCarty, she also posts pictures, and she gives you like a historical picture book of where the setting. Where this came from, this is actually a castle, this is actually a person. And in the back of her book, she also gives you the historical background. I used to love when Susan Johnson also did that too, but she doesn't do that anymore. But I agree with Barbara. I like when they post when they go away, and especially if it's for research and what inspired a certain scene, or this is what this is based on, and imagine yourself, this is where they would be and this is where they would be walking. I really enjoy that too.
Now, I knew I'd have to sneeze before the end of the show. Sharina, you're a blogger for Readers Entertainment. Recently, you wrote a blog that felt really personal. It was a story about why you read. Do you feel it's this kind of connection that other readers are looking for, something personal?
I do. Sometimes I think they're looking for something too personal, because when I read blogs and message boards, they take it too personally, and you know, and they want, you know, that this shouldn't have happened. Why did the author do this? Or blah blah blah. But yeah, reading is personal, because you know, you're dedicating time, you get involved in the characters, especially also if you're reading to escape and to you know, forget about your problems. And sometimes if your life ain't going the way you thought it would be, and you read to relax your mind and just to float away. And it is a personal thing. And sometimes it's very uplifting.
What do you wish more authors would blog about?
I think I wish they would blog more about where they get their stories from. Also, I wish they would blog, you know, more about updates. There's a lot of, I guess, with Facebook and everything, it has influenced authors keeping their blogs and their websites updated. So when you go to their website, it's not that much updated anymore, because I guess they figure, well, you'll get it on Facebook anyway. So, but I still like to read the blogs, and I still like to read what's going on, and you know, get updated about, oh well, I'm working on this, you know. So I think in a way the social media has influenced how authors keep up with their websites and their blogs. So, you know, sometimes there's not any information at all. There's one author that I saw, her website hasn't been updated in 2 years. Or blog.
You know what, Tarina? I don't know that it's social networking that has anything to do with that. It may have somewhat, but I'll tell you something. I saw this even before Facebook and Twitter, because I would always link back to the author's website, and I would be horrified to see exactly what you're saying. Their new books wouldn't be on there. What they're working on wouldn't be on there. And it was like, you know, if you don't even care enough to keep this up, you know, why should I bother? You know?
That's exactly how I feel, because certain authors I don't read anymore, because if you're not taking the time or caring about to update me so I could buy your book and know when it's coming out. Sometimes I saw a book on the shelf and I was like, oh, I didn't know she had something coming out, you know.
Right.
And I just,
it's,
you know,
it's kind of like a friend that didn't tell what they're doing next, you know, what they're, you know, what's happening, you know.
And another thing.
Don't you like to see their appearances, where they're going to be, like in case they're going to be in your area?
Yes, because I do go to conventions, and I, you know, I go to RT and stuff. I'd like to know if they're going to be there, because I do like the opportunity to meet them and say, oh, I loved your book. Or, you know, just talk about their book and why did you make this one do this? Or why, you know, are you going to write this one about this person? Because sometimes it's a little quirky for me, but I always pick up on, when I'm reading a book, on, oh, this guy's going to be the next book and blah, blah, blah. And then what happens is, if I email the author, I say, you've got to write this guy. And she's like, no, he's not next. And I'm like, what? You know, he would make a great character.
You know, the thing is, I know, Barbara, you do this very successfully. You tie your blog to your social media, to your Facebook, to your Twitter. It's not like your social media is an advertisement to your blog. It's like an extension. You've really kind of, you know, got that down to where, you know, you have your blog and you're letting people know that it's there and you're interacting, but you still have your own community happening with your social media. And, you know, I'm like you. I'm so horrified when I'll have a client come in and I'll, you know, be working on a project with them and ask, you know, where's your website? And some of them will just say, oh, I don't have a website. You know, or
yes,
even
it happened today. An author did not have a website. I had to tie it into their publisher's webpage, which has no information on it at all. And then
there's an author too that I know that doesn't have a website, and it's tied into the author page, and you're like, okay, this tells me nothing. Unfortunately, readers take things personally. Because reading is personal, and they see it as, I mean, I understand an author is busy. They have deadlines and stuff like that. But a part of their writing process, and if they want readers, is they have to keep the readers informed, and they have to, you know, take the time to say, you know, it shows that, you know what, I care about my readers. And if I want my readers to keep returning, I have to give them something. I have to throw them a bone. You know,
yeah.
And sometimes they don't do that, and that's very frustrating. How do I know to buy your book if you're not telling me you're going to have one out?
Now let me ask about free books. I know we were all at Book Expo America last week, and I'm sure you noticed how many free books were being given out there. Does a free read influence you to purchase other books from that author? Does it inspire you to blog or review the book? Barbara, what do you think?
I absolutely agree with that. I'll tell you, before I started doing this, if I were to get a free book, I would read it, and if I liked it, I would immediately go for that whole backlist of that author because I wanted to read everything else they wrote. Because if this was that good, I wanted to read everything else. Whereas if I wouldn't have gotten the free book, I may never have heard of that author before. You know, it's just kind of another way to advertise instead of them taking an advertisement out in a magazine or whatever. This actually, and then you have something of value. It's something you could pass to somebody else and tell them how much you liked it. And then they've got another reader. I mean, to me, it's that free gift that keeps on giving.
What do you think, Sharina? Are you influenced by free reads?
Oh, absolutely. It's free. You know, that's the first thing you hear. Oh, free, and you give it to me. And then you read it, and if it's good, it prompts me to buy the backlist to see. Well, what I do is I run to the computer, and I look up the author, see if they have a backlist. And then once I see they do have a backlist, I get their books, and I you know, see, it, you know, I usually give it, for me, I usually give the author three tries to try their books. And if I like them, you know, the three books, usually you have me sold. Even if it's an author that the first book I did not like, I will give you three tries to make sure maybe you just had an off day or something.
You are much more generous than I am.
I know. She really is.
I've always lived that way where I always given somebody three tries. If on the third try, that's it.
I got to tell you, Sharina, before computers and everything, when I would go for a list, I was always happy when they put in the front of the book, they list the books in order the author did and by series so that you knew you know, if you missed one or whatever. I really like that. That's how I would always get my books.
Yeah, because I did that too because I was notorious. I am notorious for getting a book, picking it up, and it's in the middle of a series. So, oh my God, I gotta go buy the book. And, you know, right halfway through the book, I'm like, it's a series. It's a joy.
Well, let me ask you this. We're talking about BEA. Sharina, what did you enjoy the most about BEA this year, and what do you think they could have improved on?
Well, I'm not going to say getting kissed by Flavor Flav, that's for sure. But I enjoyed the interaction. I just walking around, seeing what's available, talking to people. I love talking books and just seeing, you know, the excitement. What I think they could have improved on, I don't know. I think they could have improved more on the, while they were giving books away, a lot of the books they weren't. You know, the displays, you couldn't touch the displays, and, you know, they had signs up, do not touch. You know, it was very off-putting. Like, you know, once that sign was up there, it made them unapproachable. You know, so, it's like, don't touch, you know, like, it was like a keep-off kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that kind of, like, turned me off. I didn't like that.
Well, I think unfortunately, there's so many people who have that mindset of free, 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 and they get a little carried away that it's kind of forced the hands of some people to say, this isn't free, it's display only. And I think you can still go up and tell them, hey, can I just look at this book? And, you know, but you're right, it's a little off-putting. It's like, can I even touch it? It looks interesting, but I don't know. Yeah, I can see that. Barbara, what about you? What did you like the most about BEA this year, and what do you think they could have improved on?
Well, I really like the celebrity spotting. I'm just like fangirl when I see celebrities. So that's always a lot of fun for me. And but I also like that I got to see now, well, the publishers and editors and authors, I can see a lot of different things. But things like Brilliance Audio, I can't see every day, and I don't ever get to talk to those people. So it was fun talking to them about audiobooks because I'm such a big fan, and they've got a new app that's really a lot of fun that you can download. It's called QR, and then you can put it on your phone and then put it up in front of any audiobook that's marked with that logo and get an excerpt of the book for free, which I thought was a really cool idea.
Nice.
And I also talked to some people who were developing a program where authors could sign ebooks, and I thought that was very interesting. I'm not totally on board with it yet because I don't understand the whole thing, but I think it's an amazing concept, and it could grow to be something really great that people that have ebooks and want autographs can get and enjoy. So I thought learning all new things that I didn't know before, that was a really big part of it. And
what about improvement?
Do you want me to say what to improve on?
Yeah.
Okay, I wish they could figure out a different way to do, like, the lines. When they with certain people that they had signed things, they would do lines for, and the lines could go an hour or longer, you know?
Yeah.
And I would think they would have a better system to do that. I'm not real on board with the way they do that because it's so crowded, it gets so congested, and yeah, I'd like to see that. And I hated the way so many things overlapped that you had
right.
tough choices to make on what you wanted to see or who you wanted to see. So, yeah, it's a big time problem. But I thought it was amazing. And I anybody that loves books, I think, would really just be in awe. And I loved reading all the librarians there. I thought that gave me
goosebumps. I know.
I'm a big library person.
Yes, that was really great. Lots of that. Yeah, I definitely agree about the lines. You know, they know how many books that they have that they can give away. It would be nice if people would count out the line and just say, look, you know, you're the last person to get a book, and everybody who's behind them can decide, you know, do they want to stay in line for an autograph or do they want to go? Like you said, there were so many people to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're at the end of, you know, the iced tea line and you get there just to find out that they're out of books when you could have been over getting a Rick Riordan book. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like it would have been nice to have that a little better managed. I think they did a great job, but I think that definitely there's room for improvement. Now, we've only got 2 minutes. So I wanted to ask each of you real quickly. I know we love to talk about e-readers, and Sharina, you have 1 minute to tell me what would you like to see added to your e-reader. I know you have a Nook Color. What would you like to have added to your Nook that you're not getting right now? In 1 minute.
What am I getting from what I'm not getting from my Nook?
Right.
And what I want them to add to the Nook?
Yeah.
The big thing that's going on is since the update, it's slowed it down, so I'd like a patch for them to clarify that. I mean, because it has slowed down the Nook and it hangs. So that's my big problem with it right now.
What about you, Barbara? I know you have the Kindle. What would you like to see Kindle add?
Backlight. Yeah, you know, sometimes I have to share hotel rooms with other people, and I hate to turn on a light in the middle of the night when I wake up. So I'd love to be able to just turn it on and have it just light up my reading device instead of lighting up the whole room and be able to read from it. But I know the iPad does, and I see one in my near future. So next time we talk, I'll have to report back on the iPad.
All right. Now, for our listeners out there, please do stop by readersentertainment.com blog tomorrow. Tell us what you love or hate about your e-reader. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me on the show tonight. I appreciate you coming.
You're welcome.
Thank you. It was fun.
Thank you, Sheila.
And I want to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. Don't forget to find us at readersentertainmentradio.com. And stop by and leave a comment about tonight's show. I'm Sheila English, your host, and thank you again for joining us here on Readers Entertainment Radio.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions. www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.